Welcome to The Breakfast Show. You're listening right across Australia on 87.6, 87.8 or 88 on the Faith FM network. And you are joined today by myself, Danuta, and Minnie. Minnie, welcome to the show. How are you
Thank
today?
Thank you. I am so good. You know, I was just thinking, this is like an all-female situation today. I don't think I've had this in the whole time. I mean, not that I've been on Faith FM recently, but even when I was on, I'm like, oh, it's just girls in the room.
I know. Isn't
exciting?
Isn't that so good? We have DJ Shell back from America
yes, we do.
You were overseas seeing your family. Unfortunately, Shell wasn't too well, but she's back and on deck, and we're always excited to have her. And Minnie, you've been feeling in the last few days a little bit too, haven't you? Like, you know, unfortunately, Joseph had to go back to Brazil with his family. They've had an unfortunate situation of passing family member. And Lawson isn't able to make it today, so I'm filling in for him today too. So we're both filling in today.
Absolutely.
And we're hoping that together, by God's grace and with his help, we'll have a great show together and just enjoy things. Tell us just a little bit about yourself. I know some of our listeners may know over the last few days where you have filled in, I believe, haven't you?
Yeah.
But for those that don't know, let us know about yourself.
Oh, well, what to tell? Now, I've actually, when I was on Faith FM originally the first time, I was studying my teaching degree, which from start to finish with a few gap years in between took me 8 years. In that time, you know, I did some Bible working, moved to New Zealand, worked a whole bunch of different jobs, came back, was on Faith FM. Finally graduated.
Wow.
So
cool. Good for you.
It's the best. And, however, this year, at the start of the year, I just have done some traveling. I'm trying to get overseas. That's always been kind of the goal. I'm probably about to move to New Zealand.
Wow.
But yeah, so, you know.
I call that God's country. It's so beautiful, isn't it?
Love it.
Especially the South Island. It's
I'm biased. I love the North.
Beautiful in every way.
but it's good. Yeah. And so it's been really nice to be back, actually. I would say sometimes, you know, getting the timing right and getting back into it takes a minute, but no, it's been awesome.
Coming up on our show today, we have our interview with Dr. John Ashton. We're going to be looking at water. Water's so important, isn't it? Just really good stuff with that. And also we're going to continue in our Bible study time today, looking at the light from the sanctuary. We've already started looking at that this week, but today we're actually looking at the Holy of Holies. Really important topic in every way.
You're listening to The Breakfast Show podcast on Faith FM. Positively different.
With Danuta and Minnie this morning, and we are filling in for Joseph and Lawson this morning. We are happy to be with you on the show this morning in every way, and we hope you're going to have a really great time with us. It has come time for our first quiz question.
Minnie, take it away
for us, please.
All right. So question number one, Tuesday morning. First up, what does Acts, the book of Acts, say that Herod was eaten by? So we have our prize. If you have been with us, you know what this is about. If you don't, you will go into the draw, which we draw on Friday, to win this amazing prize. It is three books. It's a series called Journey Through the Bible. And it's really just looking at the history of each book, the meaning behind it, just really nutting into understanding that. So, again, you're going to go into the draw to win that, but we want you to get as many chances as possible, so we're going to have a few questions today. The one I just said, question number one for this morning, is what does Acts say that Herod was eaten by?
That's right. Text us in your answer on 0491 064 669 and you'll go into the draw for exactly the prize that Minnie has just mentioned, Journey Through the Bible. And of course, the draw happens at 8:45 on Friday morning. You want to be in it to win it. That's the line, of course. Be in it to win it. And if you don't enter, you cannot win it. And all of our listeners, whenever they've won prizes, have texted us in thanking us so much, being so happy with the prizes that we have. Can you give us the question once again, please, Minnie?
So what does Acts say Herod was eaten by?
Okay.
It's a bit of a rough story.
It is a rough story, isn't it? Yeah, King Herod. And written in the book of Acts, which of course is in the New Testament, we prefer that you don't try and Google your answers. You try and actually guess them. But look, you know, we don't know here whether how you find your answers. Either way, just text us in your answer. What does Acts say Herod was eaten by? Text us in on 0491 064 669 and you'll go in the draw for Journey Through the Bible. You love studying the Bible, don't you, Minnie?
Look, I do. As our listeners may or may not know, I think I did say it the other day, Ezekiel is my very favourite book of the Bible.
True. I haven't heard that before, somebody. That's amazing. That's so good.
Nah, my top three is Ezekiel, Leviticus, Song of Solomon.
Wow.
They're the greatest three. I love them. Here's the thing.
What's your reason?
Okay, so Ezekiel, I actually, many years ago when I was on Faith FM, a listener said, Minnie, you should write a commentary. I'm like, whoa, 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 let's calm down. But what I would love to do, and I did start once, was I'd love to do like my own devotional. Basically being like, hey, here's what I found. I'm not saying it's all right, all the things, but just this is what I found as I've moved through it. I love Ezekiel because you cannot read it outside of the context of it is only grace that saves you.
Mm.
But it is also, it uses heavy language, heavy imagery
yeah.
to be like, but right now you don't realize how bad it is. And you actually seem not to want to realize how bad it is.
Mm-hmm.
And this is about a God like coming into his people and he's being like, I need to let you know how bad. Like you, what, it's almost like your only options for salvation
is Jesus.
Yeah, it's Jesus.
It's
but
Jesus.
I'm going to put you into captivity.
Absolutely.
Because your only other option is self-imposed death. Like you are right. on a path to self-destruction.
Yeah.
And then you have these amazing verses where God is like, you know, my heart was crushed for the adultery of my people.
Yes.
Like, this is the God of the universe. What do you mean? Like, well, he cares deeply, deeply.
Deeply right? for all of us, doesn't he?
And he's so invested. And then there's so many verses, so many chapters.
And the imageries that are in there makes us dig deeper into God's
yes.
word. That's what I love about it
yes.
too, doesn't it? You know?
Yeah.
In every way.
So yeah. I just think it is like a missed book because we get there. And it is. The imagery, you're kind of like, what is this talking about? But I think that's why I loved it. Because
it's
I
so
didn't
good.
Really understand it. And I really had to sit with it for ages and
wow.
like do lots of cross-referencing, be like, what does this mean? What does this represent? I don't
Love
understand.
It. Love it.
And I think anytime you invest in something, you value it a bit more.
Don't you? Yeah.
And, you have to.
And of course, even as we're discussing last week in the Bible studies too, it's about comparing scripture with scripture, isn't
yes.
it?
Yes.
So like
yes.
for you, when you're saying you dug deeper, it was about going from one verse to another and going like, where else in the Bible could, mm-hmm. you know, does this help me understand? Not going to somebody else. It's like, what does God's word have? Like,
absolutely.
What is God telling me through this? So that's exciting. We'll unpack that more later through the show too. But take us away with some good news. We love good news here, of course, on Faith
we
FM.
Do.
What good news have you got for us today?
Well, just speaking of like digging into things, I have a story about some archaeological findings.
Oh, I love archaeology. So you've just nailed it with me right here.
Yeah. So as I have just mentioned, I have been traveling for just a couple of months earlier this year. So I went to Germany and then I went up to Finland and then Norway.
Beautiful.
Went down to England, up to Edinburgh, over to Spain. And then I spent some time in Turkey. And I just, you know, I have done some travel, but there is something about Australia that we don't have history that you can really visibly see.
Mm-hmm.
You probably have like bits and pieces, like nothing compared to these places in Europe. And there were just times I was like, this, you feel like you could step back in history in some areas. Anyway, so I was in Spain and so this story kind of caught my eye. So basically in a small village from an Iron Age site, so maybe like 3rd to 3 BC, a gold earring was discovered hidden inside a small jar. In a small jar hidden in a wall. So
wow.
basically archaeologists, were considering how this tiny object offers a snapshot, capturing a moment in time.
Mm.
It was not just the gold earring for context. There was lots of other things.
And they found it behind a wall.
So inside a wall.
Inside a wall.
Inside
so
a
the
wall.
Building must have been coming down, or they must have been just searching overall for a whole lot of history stuff.
Yes. There. So
okay.
in the mountainous area, so the Pyrenees, so
yes.
this is on the northeastern side in Iberia. There has been study of settlements, you know, looking at agricultural production, patterns of grinding and storage, livestock strategies, the development of urban communities back then. That has kind of happened.
Yep.
What they have had a bit less of is research about the difficulties of highland, in this highland living and, the settlements there and what life looked like. There are ancient literary sources, that mention a particular area, but from an archaeological perspective, they haven't known a whole lot.
Right.
So since 2007, however, the first extensive excavations have increased the information. Obviously, like 2007, that's not that recent.
Yeah, no.
But man, those archaeological digs, they just pick kind of one section and
right.
dig. Yeah. And then just explore and move on. And so it actually is a pretty time intensive process.
Absolutely.
And so they came to an area. One site has included a really in-depth analysis.
Yep.
And so basically there was this one particular site was a building, two-story building that had been burnt down in a fire. And so I guess I don't know exactly how it works with the science things, but there was enough that was retained. So like organic and or inorganic material. Mm-hmm. So they found, you know, remains of a whole bunch of things. So remains of some animal skeletons, some human remains,
a whole variety.
So they had things like ceramics and pottery, metals. They had rooms that, you know, obviously they're in pieces. It's not, you're like, oh, this is, you know, what this was. But as they do, they kind of go through, well, this is what we found. Mm. This is what this could be.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and they discovered different kinds of, I don't know how you test this, but I guess the residue of different kinds of wheat. And right. So this makes them go, well, you know, did they have the same kind of practices for feeding their cattle or doing this? And so they've just investigated into this. And the area, again, ancient writers mention a variety of metals, so silver, iron, lead, and gold. Until now, there hasn't been much documented about the economic patterns of the households. And, yeah, so they found this golden earring as one of the many things that was just kind of hidden there. I think it's so cool that we're still discovering, and there's so much that we just don't know.
Absolutely so much that we don't know. And it tells us a lot about the people when they discover. That's yes. what I love with archaeology, isn't it? That it actually takes us back to those eras and actually helps us to kind of get a bit of better understanding of the people that lived there, the culture that was at that time, the community that was around there, how they lived, you know, just a whole range of things with that. And and of course, you're saying it dates back to
three BC?
So
it's old.
That's really old, isn't it? Like, and so when we're looking at that time, we know that that was also the time that there's a lot of biblical history, you know, written around that sort of time, you know, prophecy pointing to times of when Jesus would come and things like that. So when we go back into the BC times, it's actually going back into the Old Testament times, which is amazing, isn't it?
It is amazing. Yeah. And we've talked about this on the show, I know, before, and just probably just in different groups, is it's amazing that we have so much history in the Bible that, you know, like I said, even just with this one particular town, there's ancient sources that they're like, oh, well, we've kind of heard about it, but is it really there? Do we really know? And then it takes so long to actually get to the process of being like, well, hold on. Yes, look, we found it.
Absolutely.
This has happened with the Bible time and time again. People are like, not true. Oh, hold on a minute.
Yeah, that's why my favorite still is the Dead Sea Scroll discoveries in 1947, amazing. Around that time, you know, that proves that the Bible is true. And that takes us right back to those early areas, you know, to BC and around the Qumran area, you know, around the Dead Sea. And of course, proves that today what we have in the Bible is true because they've compared it with those findings from all those years back and their recent findings.
You're listening to the Breakfast Show podcast on Faith FM, positively different.
With Danuta and Minnie. And of course, we're filling in for Joseph and Lawson today. It's coming into that time, you know, of the year where it's heavy exam time.
Yes, mad studies.
And of course, Lawson comes here and does a fabulous job with Faith FM in the morning. And then he has a crazy day of lectures and studies and assignment. And it's just coming into that crazy May time, or it's already been crazy May where they have the heavy assignments. And of course, then it moves into exam studying next week as well. So he's doing his best to try and balance both. And that's why we're kind of helping out here today, aren't we?
Absolutely.
And enjoying ourselves. We also love the music. And of course, we've got DJ Shell back from America. Always great to have her here as well. Okay. It's time for our second quiz question. Please, Minnie, take it away.
Yeah. Question number two. This is a multi choice. So Jeroboam. I'm not sure if that's how you pronounce it, but Jeroboam is known by what other name? So we have A, Jonathan, B, Gideon, C, Gabriel, D, Samuel. What was the other name that Jeroboam was known by? I'll give you those again. A, Jonathan, B, Gideon, C, Gabriel, D, Samuel. I would have probably been a bit stuck on this one were it not a multi choice.
Yes, because that's an interesting name to you. You just don't often talk about Jeroboam, do you?
No.
It's like one of those names that you just don't mention.
You just don't know. Like, that's right.
Unless Shell puts it up for a quiz.
Well, and it's because there are some names that we will often talk about the two. You know, there are people whose names were changed that we're like, oh, we know them by either, but it's a bit tricky. So the prize that you're going to go in the draw to win, Journey Through the Bible, is three books. I think the first one is Genesis to Job, and then Psalms to Malachi, and then the rest is in the third book. So if you want to be in that, which will be draw on Friday, just answer as many quiz questions as you want to and are able. The number is 0491 064 669. Again, that question, Jerubbaal is known by what other name? A, Jonathan, B, Gideon, C, Gabriel, and D, Samuel.
Absolutely. Text us in your answer, and of course you're going in the draw. That happens on Friday morning at 8:45. Always exciting when that actually happens. And we're talking here even about, favourite Bible, books of the Bible. Text us in. Let us know what is your favourite book of the Bible.
And why. We want to know the why.
Absolutely. You want to know what my favourite one is?
Tell me.
I love the book of John.
Yes.
I just go over it and over it and over it. And like for me, Jesus is so personal and real in the writings of John.
Yeah.
That's what I really love about the book of John. And of course, some of those miracles, like my husband and I went back in 2015. Some of our listeners may know this from when I was on last year for 5 months on Faith FM as well. We went to Israel in 2015 and we went to the places in Cana where Jesus turned the water into wine. We went to Nain where Jesus, raised the young boy. All of those places, Capernaum where Jesus was
these real places, right?
Yeah, Nazareth, and Bethlehem where he's born and all those things. And just for me, the two most significant places were, where he was baptized, mm-hmm. where he said yes, and we are to follow his ways. That's what the Bible tells us, about baptism as well when we give our heart to the Lord. But, to the River Jordan, that for me, I just pulled myself away from the group and just, reflected on, what it would have been like to see Jesus being baptized if I'd been on the edge of the shore, And the other place was, the tomb, the empty tomb, to know that we serve a risen Savior. Oh, wow. Mm. The tomb is empty because he's interceding on our behalf in heaven. And we'll be covering some of that in the Bible study today. So, yeah. But it's time for our news section here. Hey, the last few days, there's been a lot on the media about social media and young people, and the effects that it's actually having on the fact that the cutoff age, is just so young and the desire for so many parents and a push for that to be raised, particularly here in New South Wales, to the age of 16.
I think that's wise.
Oh yeah,
seems young. Like
it seems young to me too. Are you much of a social media person?
Here's the thing. Me as a person, and this is like I'm a full grown adult. I didn't get Facebook until I finished high school.
Mm-hmm.
And so like I think social media is actually far more accessible now. It was there, but I didn't have it.
Mm.
I can't really be trusted on social media because, it just sucks you into this vortex.
Takes your time and whatever comes up, you kind of go, oh, look into that.
So I actually am not on it. I will go through phases, but I'll be off it for like 6 to 8 months. Then I'll get back on it. I was on for my travels and then I literally got back and was like, I can't. I've got to get off it. And here's the thing. I never miss it.
Right.
When I get off it for months at a time, there might be like, a week or so where you're like, you're used to like checking something, but I never be like, oh, my life feels sad without it.
Wow.
I would say the opposite.
That's interesting.
I consistently be like, man, my life feels way better.
Yeah, yeah.
Actually, my headspace feels cleaner.
Cleaner. Yeah. Absolutely. More fulfilling. Hey, and you get more done.
Absolutely.
And you have many more connections and relationships with people that are real.
Yes.
Aren't they? So, but sadly, here's the I'm not huge on social media. Okay. I prefer still to do the texting and stuff like that. And I'll occasionally go on Facebook and stuff, but like that's such a rare thing for me. But it is something that our young people are growing up with. That's the culture that is around them. And so this is the thing. And something that really caught my attention on the weekend, is, the Sunday Telegraph, the front page of the Sunday Telegraph. And if I can actually read the title of this comes from the Sunday Telegraph, just from this Sunday gone. It says, let them be kids taunted by death.
Oh,
taunted to death, I should say. And that's the title that Sunday Telegraph has given. It's because there's heaps and heaps of kids, hundreds of young people who are unfortunately taking their lives because of the bullying and the effect of social media. It is absolutely massive. And so the families are actually stepping out because of the threats and bullying that it's actually happening on these, on social media to these young people. And in fact, if you actually go back over if people actually have access to the Sunday Telegraph, there's actually some pictures of young people who have actually taken their lives. And you just sort of think, and that's only a small handful of the many that do it each year that we don't even hear about. I must say, just before I keep going too, if this is something that is triggering for you, please actually turn your volume down and sort of for the young ones. And also, you know, if you need, Lifeline is 131114 if you need to phone, if anything is triggering for you. But here's the thing. It actually, they're actually encouraging here in Telegraph, the parents are actually, you know, running together for what's called a Let Them Be Kids campaign. Actually, to ban children from, you know, under 16 years of age to actually having access to social media. Now, I'm with you too. I think many, you know, I think even that's, you know, still quite young. And yet it's still better than, you know, even at 14, at the moment it's 13, 14. And even, you know, the recent May budget that's just come out, the federal government has actually announced a $6.5 million trial of age verification technology to actually help children in this kind of space, to actually research what is it that is actually impacting them. And my question comes, you know, into my mind, how long is this trial going to go for? When's it going to start? Mm-hmm. You know, let's not draw it out too long to find out what is it, because we know it's already affecting them,
yes.
Don't we?
Yeah,
we
know. Like that, there is enough evidence for that.
Absolutely, like, there is, you know. And so, you know, let's pour that money in, but also let's do things quickly. Let's not wait to raise the age just from research. Mm. Let's actually start acting quickly is what I say, because the thing is that how many more lives might be lost by the time that those results come out and then the ban is lifted and things like that. Interesting, in South Australia, let me just find this, if we actually look at it, the South Australian pushes for a ban for children, and they need more accountability, of course, in the different platforms. So in South Australia, they've actually appointed a former High Court Chief Justice to look at the legal pathways relating to all of the issues relating to putting a ban on for the children and things like that. And they're actually looking at, you know, the proposal is for children aged 14 and 15 to actually have parental consent whenever they go onto that. Now, what we know, and I know from families that, you know, have teenagers especially, because that's the ones it's particularly affecting, isn't it, is that no matter how hard they try in the home, there's still ways that the young people find around it, don't you think?
Of course. I remember I used to have MSN, so that was probably the most social when I was in high school. Man, I didn't need to be on MSN. And, like, you know, I don't feel like that particularly affects me because it was just chatting with people. But absolutely, you better believe I found ways to be on MSN when I wanted to be. Here's opinion. Like, just going to disclaimer, this is my opinion. I do think, however, that what we know about children is we learn best through imitation. Mm. Humans learn best through imitation. Mm. I'm not going to sit here and condemn people for being on their phones, but I would argue that when people are seeing a culture around them on their phones, of course, teenagers naturally want to gravitate to, particularly if you're told not to, actually. You know, so there is this element of like, well, what are they seeing around, like, the adults, like, around them? Mm. And also, what else are they being given as an option to do something with? You know, if, like, you have nothing else going on.
You're listening to the Breakfast Show podcast on Faith FM, positively different.
And it is with Minnie and Danuta this morning, and we're so excited to be here. And, of course, before we go into our interview time this morning, we have Dr. John Ashton. We have our next quiz question. Please, Minnie, take it away.
All right. So question number three, who did Janice and Jambres oppose? Again, you may not be familiar with these names. I am going to add a little clue for you. This is, what shall we say? What book of the Bible? Do you want to give them the book of the Bible?
Yeah, I think we give them the book of the Bible.
Okay, I'm going to say this is in Exodus.
Absolutely.
That I feel like that's going to be a big clue, but also I know there's a lot going on. But anyway.
And probably just another tip, you know, just think of some of the key names of the people in Exodus and some of the, key stories that, key leaders is probably the way. And
so we hope you're not driving. If you are not driving, please go and have a little read through. If you don't know the answer, and if you do know the answer, we want to hear 0491-064-669 to text in. So again, the question, it was like, who did Janice and Jambres oppose? We're looking for the person. If you're like, man, who are these names? Again, we've given you a few clues here.
And one more other clue.
Yes.
Should we give them one more clue?
Yeah, go on.
The first letter of their name starts with the second half of the alphabet.
I like it. That's
do you
a
like
good
that,
clue.
Shell? Okay, yeah. She's laughing. She likes that. We've passed. It's okay. If anything passes past Shell, it's all good.
It's amazing. And so, again, the prize for this week is going to be a journey through the Bible book series. There's three books. So just one more time, who did Janice and Jambres oppose? This is Exodus. The start of her name is from the second half of the alphabet. Think kind of key people you might know about. And if you know the answer, text through 0491 064 669.
Absolutely. And it has come time now for our interview with Dr. John Ashton. Today we're talking about water. Hello, John. How are you?
Ah, good morning.
Hello, John. Welcome back once again. It's always great to have you on the show. You have fascinating things that you always give us from the science point of view and things like that. But my understanding is today we're actually talking about water. Is that correct?
Yes, water is an amazing molecule. It's made up of hydrogen and oxygen, as we know, but it has some very, very interesting design features. The molecule itself has quite an interesting bent structure, and this bent structure gives it some very unique properties. And this bent structure, of course, results from the unique properties of the elements hydrogen and oxygen. And so water is actually one of the most common substances in the universe, actually. Comes in behind, just things like hydrogen itself. Mm-hmm. So it's quite unusual, but it actually provides powerful evidence for creation. And it's interesting, one of the greatest scientists of all times was a Christian called James Clerk Maxwell. Many people haven't heard of him. But he was the person who discovered, for example, that light was made up of electric and magnetic fields and many of the equations that we depend on. Matter of fact, Einstein simply extended Maxwell's field work to gravity. But Maxwell pointed out was that how could atoms and molecules have evolved, and he was very much against Darwin's theory and a leading proponent against Darwin's theory back in the late 1800s. Mm-hmm. Now, there's another fascinating thing, scientist, and this scientist was an atheist. Well, no, he was an agnostic. Mm-hmm. And that was Lawrence Joseph Henderson, who was probably one of the leading biochemists in the early 1900s. And he wrote a book called The Fitness of the Environment. And he again pointed out that so many things in nature point to supporting life, and that the universe seems to be very fine-tuned for life. And one of the things that fascinated him were the unique properties of water. He was especially a physical chemist as well. And as I said, he wrote these books. And one of the things that he looked at, for example, is that water has this amazing property of as it cools, it shrinks in volume until it gets to just below 4 degrees, and then suddenly it expands. And this means that as the water freezes, the ice floats. Otherwise, the ice would, in virtually all the other substances, there's a very few exceptions, but the ice floats. And the fact that ice floats means then that the lakes don't freeze solid and kill all the life in them, and then the ice forms an insulator that then enables and preserves the temperature of the water underneath, which enables all the living things underneath to be preserved, even in extreme conditions, you know, as we know, like freshwater lakes in Siberia and this sort of thing. They don't freeze solid, even though the air surface temperature there might be, you know, minus 50 degrees. So,
That's interesting what you're saying, John, because I just think, like, you know, if you crack ice in a lake or something, you know, and you dip yourself in, we kind of go, go freeze mode straight away, don't we? And yet, you know, it's like you're saying, it's been designed in such a way to be an insulate and preserve the living creatures underneath, and, you know, in every way. But, and it's like you said at the start that, you know, water's universal. Without water, there is no life, is there, really? That's the thing. And yet,
Yes, it is. And its design features enable water to have a sort of a positive and a negative charge. Mm-hmm. And this is another very unique property of this molecule that results in a number of interesting properties. For example, water has a very high surface tension, and as a result of this hydrogen bonding. And so that means, I don't know whether you notice it and you learn about it at school, but water, when you put it in a vessel, has a little edge. And sometimes the edge is down, sometimes the edge is up, depending on the surface. And these positive and negative charges in the water lead to very high, what we call cohesive or adhesive forces. And that also results in capillary action. Now, this capillary action enables water to travel up trees hundreds of meters. So you have trees that, you know, sort of a, or not hundreds, but up to, say, 100 metres, the water can be drawn up the tree due to these forces. And the also the surface tension effect allow little insects and small creatures to walk on water.
Fascinating what you're pointing out, John, because I think typically we think of water, you know, that that the roots are the source system. Do you know what I mean? Like that with water, and so the roots are actually getting it, but it's actually going up, like you say, so that all the bugs or anything that's living on it is actually benefiting from it as well in every way, isn't it?
Well, yes. So insects and can live on water, so we can have all these aquatic insects. But also when you think about tree, as you go up, I forget what it is, but every 34 feet is the equivalent to one atmosphere pressure. So it takes a lot of water. People have to have, you know, quite special pumps. If you want to pump water up any height, you have to have quite a high pressure. But in a tree, of course, there isn't this high pressure. Mm. It's drawn up by this capillary action, which is a result of these particular types of special bonds. Mm. The other thing is, too, all our biochemistry in our body has to be buffered to what we call near neutral. So we know that there are acids, and acids will attack, you know, skin, you get a burn and this sort of thing. And the same with alkali, or bases like sodium hydroxide, get those on your skin, you burn. Mm. And so for our biological system, the acidity has to be based near neutral. And this is carried out by, there are a number of chemicals that are needed to buffer this. And there are simple systems in human systems, phosphates and carbonates. And it's quite interesting that water has the property of being able to adjust or help these things that can balance pH be soluble in the pH, in the water, and adjust the acidity and keep the acidity near neutral. So water has these amazing properties that facilitate all the biochemical reactions that are occurring in us that are keeping us alive. So, and this is another important aspect.
So, John, with the things you're describing to us, the thing is that, like what I'm hearing, that none of this kind of stuff can be by chance. It's all by a creative. It's by an amazing design, really, isn't
well,
it?
Well, that's right. There's no other molecule that has these amazing diversity of properties. And another one is, too, that water has a very high specific heat capacity. In other words, it can absorb a lot of heat before it actually raises its own temperature relative to all sort of other molecules. Mm. As a matter of fact, there's only one other heteroatomic molecule that has a better property in terms of heat capacity, and that's ammonia. And that's why ammonia used to be used in the early fridges. But so water has this amazing property of helping not only us keep cool through sweating and evaporation and so forth, but also it helps moderate the Earth's climate by buffering the fluctuations in temperature. And this is all a factor of, again, the amazing design of both the hydrogen and the oxygen molecule and the way they're combined and the structure of the actual molecule itself. And as we look at these properties, it's absolutely amazing that this one simple molecule has all these properties. But there's another fascinating aspect to this that I think relates to the Bible account. And we know that after the Bible records that there was the universal flood, and that after the flood, human lifespan decreased very rapidly. Now, a lot of people question the early lifespan of 900 years or thereabouts of the patriarchs that are recorded. And after that, we find that there is this exponential decay in lifespan that's recorded as the lifespan of people over the next few hundred years is recorded. It decays away right to the present time, around 120 years, which God predicted would happen after the flood. Now, it's very interesting. What they've discovered is that you can have heavy water, and a lot of people we've heard about heavy water was used to moderate the development of nuclear reactions, particularly Germany as they were trying to develop a bomb and everything. And this is water, but it's water that's heavier because the hydrogen contains a neutron as well as a proton. And one of the fascinating things that was discovered back in the 1930s was that heavy water inhibits growth.
Heavy water inhibits growth. That's an interesting way of saying it, yeah, too, though, but that's, yeah, fascinating.
And subsequent research has shown that it promotes DNA mutation and it interferes with the actions of enzymes that are involved with DNA repair. And that's so one of the things that I mentioned in my book, Evolution Impossible, is that the Bible talks about how the fountains of the deep opened up. And we know that deep down the earth, the water is much higher in deuterium. And so it fits that prior to the flood, the earth's surface probably had very little heavy water in it. And then after the flood, as God released the fountains of the deep that were much richer in heavy water, then this decreased the lifespan. So we have, again, this evidence, again, that fits the Bible, that fits creation, which I find is absolutely fascinating. Matter of fact, recent research that's been published from some of the universities in Europe show that if we reduce the deuterium, so they have deuterium depleted water, then plants can grow much faster and increase up to 200%. And they found that
that's a really rapid increase too.
that's right. And when chickens were fed deuterium depleted water, it doubled egg production and increased the life expectancy of mice and so forth. So again, we see that water has these fascinating properties that are linked and provide really powerful evidence for creation, and also, in my view, for the Bible account as well.
Absolutely. And love what you're sharing there, John. You know, that water gives us powerful evidence of creation and the Bible. We want to say thank you so much for what you've shared with us today, John. Always fabulous to have that. And we want to encourage people to drink water, because that's all important for us as well, isn't it? So thanks once again, John. Really appreciate that.
Thanks for being a part of the Faith FM family. Join our community on Facebook or get in touch at 1-800-FAITH-FM.